over my long life, and I'm an old guy, I've told a lot of stories. Most of my stories that I tell are true. Some of them are just make-believe, but, you know, like a joke or something. But some of them are really true. One thing that that I used to sit down and I'd pray with my little girl, Dakota, every night, and I'd tell her a story. I'd tell her an Indian story, or I'd tell her some kind of a story. And I would tell her about my dog, Sooner. Remember that, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. She wanted me to, tell me about Sooner, Dada. Tell me about Sooner. And she just really, she just loved to hear me tell the story about Sooner. And Sooner was my real, the best coon, bear, lion dog I ever had. And we were up one night, up in Glenville, California, and we had chased the bear all the way up to the Waggy Flat Road up there, which was 20-something miles we walked that night after this bear. And they kept treeing this bear on the ground. We finally went up there and they got him off the bear tree, because I only had a .22 pistol that didn't work. I would have shot that bear with a .22 pistol if I'd had my .22 pistol, but my dad had borrowed my gun. and it was gone. Anyway, so I had an old high-standard pistol, and I'd shot a coon that night, and it took me about 10 times because it was so rusty and didn't work because we never had to use one, but my dad took off with my pistol, so I didn't have one. We got down there, and as we were following down, Sooner was coming, and we were tired. We walked 26 miles up, and we were coming back now. And we got down there into the flats, finally, and there's a skunk in the trail in front of us. And the skunk kept standing up on his front legs and aiming at us. We just stand there, and he gone a little bit further. He's the king of the mountain, you know. Anyway, we got down there a little bit further, and he'd do that every now and then. He'd just stand on his front feet and aim at us, and tell us, well, I'm going to squirt you. Well, my dog comes down. Sooner comes down. And Sooner goes down, and you know how dogs smell at each other's dog's tails. He smelled of that skunk like that. And I mean, that skunk let loose. And that dog, he was mostly white. He was white and black, and white was all yellow. And he was going, rubbing his head that way, and he's rubbing his head that way, and he's just squalling and going on, just rubbing his head all over the place. Dakota liked to hear me tell that story.
Yeah.
And it was real. It happened. And I just pulled that old pistol out, and I shot him. Finally. It shot another time after three or four trigger pulls. I went and cleaned it up after that, and then I got another pistol. Anyway, Marilyn liked to hear me tell a story also. And Marilyn's story was out Mr. Cornstalk. Mrs. Cornstalk was really a robust lady, powerful woman. She had about 10 kids. And Mr. Cornstalk didn't want to go to church most of the time. And so this one Sunday, she washes his overalls and irons his overalls and gets him a white shirt and a tie and cleans his hat, and she said, you're going to church with me. He said, I have a lot of things to do. She said, you're going to church, Mr. Cornstalk. They called each other Mr. and Mrs. back then. Remember that? When a woman and man called her husband Mr. Phillips or Mr. whatever. Well, anyway, they went to church. Mr. Cornstalk hadn't been in church in a long, long time, so the church decided they were going to have him lead in prayer. Well, the deacons called on Mr. Cornstalk to lead in prayer. Well, Mr. Cornstalk prayed and he prayed. He prayed for every man in that congregation and his wife and all of his children. And it went on and on and on and on and on. He prayed, then he started praying for their pets, their dogs. This dog got a broken leg. Lord, please watch over that dog that he gets well. And one preacher over there, well, not preacher, but the deacon over there said, amen. You know, like, man, I'm getting tired of this. He said, oh, thank you, brother. Amen. He said, I couldn't think of that word. They ended his prayer with. And according to that was a true story, too. Brother Hubbard told that story to me a long, long time ago. Getting back into the Word of God now, we are reading the book of Genesis. And you got a little taste of that in the last class in review. So we review that again. We have God creating the heavens, the earth. He creates all the animals. He tells the earth to bring forth seed. It was already there. A lot of the vegetation and trees were already here. Now, if your brother, or your cousin that is, takes you up here on top of this mountain, up here on top of this mountain, there are trees up there that are thousands and thousands of years old. They go back, they say, about 17,000 years. Those trees were created in eternity past. Those trees were, some of those trees were old when Adam was created. You go up there, and you've been to that place. As a matter of fact, on discovertheword.com or on Sermon Audio or Discover the Word with Dr. Jim, YouTube, all of the, there's a deal up there that says that the trip to the top of the world. We went up Wyman Canyon, and they went in there in the information center, and they tell you all of that, and they tell you all about the Methuselah tree, the oldest tree in the world. And they're up there on top of that mountain, thousands and thousands of years old. The earth was still one piece of ground, dirt, or earth and water when those trees were up there, when they were created. Well, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he reconstructed it after Satan destroyed it. And he put man in the Garden of Eden, in the second Eden, Marilyn. That was a question you had in the last class. The first Eden was where Lucifer sat, and it was a throne room, and probably on the earth. And then, the second time, God created this throne room, this beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden, and placed man there. And then he put man in the garden before that he took him apart. Man in the originally was mankind. And in mankind, there was a woman and man. And in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, it says, "So the Lord God," and remember I told you before the word Lord God, Jehovah Elohim now, he starts using the word Jehovah Elohim, he who shall become God, as God dealt with man. And he said, "So the Lord God," he said that Adam was not, there was not a suitor, what we call a helper suitable for him, or corresponding to him. And so the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, caused a hypnotic trance to fall upon man. The word there is hypnose in Greek. The translation from the Hebrew into it means a hypnotic trance. We know that in places in the world, they use hypnosis to put people under what we call anesthesia, where they can operate on them, they hypnotize them. Well, God hypnotized them in this hypnotic trance, put him in a deep hypnotic sleep trance. And he slept. And then the translators have a hard time translating this verse in Genesis 2:21. It said, and it took one of his ribs. That's not what it says in Hebrew. It said it took of his sides, plural. The word rib means side, okay? But it took of his sides. He took from all of his sides. He didn't take from one side. He took from his sides. Now, what he took from Adam was flesh and blood and bone. Flesh, blood, and bone. He said he took of his sides when he slept, and he closed up Adam's flesh in the place of her, is what it literally says. He closed up the flesh, the places of the flesh, instead of her. And the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, fashioned a woman from the sides which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. Now, God said that he formed man as he formed the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breathings of lives, and what he probably breathed into Adam was blood. The life is in the blood, the Bible says. Life is in the blood. And so now, and the Lord God fashioned the woman from the sides which he had taken from man, and he brought her to the man, and the man said, "This is now bone of my bones." Bones? She is flesh of my flesh. She is flesh of my flesh. And she is blood of my blood. And she shall be called out of man. Woman. Woman means out of man. It's Isha in Hebrew. Isha means out of man. Ish is man. Isha is out of man. Because she was taken out of man. And then he makes a prophetic statement here. I want to ask you a question right now. Why did Adam partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why did he do it?
Temptation.
Huh? Because his wife gave it to him.
Yeah. And his wife gave it to him?
His wife gave it to him. She kept on giving it to him. It's in the perfect tense.
Here, eat this.
Okay. Yeah. Because she was taken out of man, and for this cause a man shall leave his father. Who was Adam's father?
God.
And for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And it said, and the man and the woman were both naked and they were not ashamed. They didn't have any clothes, but they were clothed by the glory of God. Now, in Genesis, the second chapter, we find out what happens. Vinahashishiani, it says. It said, now the serpent, how do you say that word serpent? Mer in Hebrew.
Nahash.
Vinahash. Vihahanahash. Now the serpent, and the translators make a, what we might call an innocent mistranslation of this, because they make a mistake on time element in a verb. Now the serpent was more crafty, but it doesn't say was, does it, Marilyn? It says became. The serpent became more crafty. The word crafty there is evil, sneaky snake. A sneaky in the hush. And the serpent became more evil than any of the beasts of the field. And probably the serpent was the king of the beasts. Even though the serpent is a reptile, he was the king of the beasts. Snakes are beautiful. Now, they give me the creeps. I like gopher snakes and snakes like that. And I try to get them to come on my place because they eat gophers. Down in the Old River, on the farm down there, you remember, Marilyn, when I showed you that snake that kept talking to me?
Yeah.
A snake that talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a snake out there. He was about that long, about 7 foot or so long. And I walked out there in the field one day, and I was going to set some gopher traps, because we had a lot of gophers. And out there was a snake. So I went over there and I started digging. I just left the snake alone. It was a big snake, big gopher snake. And I went over there and I started digging a hole. The snake came over there and he looked up at me like that, and he goes down in the hole. And he goes down there and he comes out. And he looks at me again. This is weird. So I went to another place. It didn't go into the main gopher hole. So I went and I dug another hole and tried to find the main avenue, the great intersection to all the gopher holes. I went about 3 times before I found the real one. And he kept going down there and he'd come out and he'd look at me. And I remember, I took you out there and showed you that snake.
I saw it.
Yeah. Anyway, I went down to this last one and he went down that hole and he went. Gone. Later on, that snake stayed around there for a long time. Every time I'd go out there, he would be out there in a gopher hole someplace, and he was getting bigger, and every now and then you could tell he had eaten a gopher. I don't understand how that snake did that. I don't understand it. But he was communicating with me. Now, the snake communicated with a woman. Now, originally, animals communicated with mankind. Have you ever had a dog that knew what you were talking about? Have you ever had a dog that could read your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about a cat? These cats here think that they're my boss. They tell me what to do. You go out in the yard, I've trained chickens, I've trained cats, dogs, horses, fish, everything you can think of. When I first come up here and preaching down on the creek, I didn't have any place to preach, so I'd put a camera up down there on a picnic table and I'd be preaching. And Marilyn looked down there and she'd always be sitting down there and she'd pointing over there. The fish would come up and line up in a row and just watch me. One of the reasons they were lining up in a row because I gave them cat food. They were wanting to know when the next morsel was coming. But they knew that I was going to come and feed them. So they come out there like that. And they were big fish. Big fish. Well, man was communicating with animals at this time. They talked to animals. Animals were his companions. The birds, the sheep, the goats, the cattle, horses, they were communicating. Camels, whatever. They were communicating with mankind. So now it's no, what may you call it, astounding. It's not astounding that what happens here in these next few verses. But this snake had loaned his body to Satan. The snake had loaned his body to Satan. Willingly. He had become more crafty than any beast of the field which the God Jehovah Elohim had made. And he said to the woman. Now he's talking to the woman. I used to have a dog. A golden retriever. One time I called him Brandy. I was living out there east of Bakersfield. And I worked at Sunland Refinery. Now I took that dog in the woods. He was a rabbit dog. He was a duck dog. He would point. He was a cow dog, a sheep dog, a bear dog, a lion dog, and a coon dog. He could do anything that I told him to do. And I showed him one time, and that was enough. I remember one time when I started learning how smart this dog was, I traded the chicken for him. He was a mascot at a sawmill up in Johnsonville, up above Isabella. And I traded the chicken for this dog and took him home. I went up there and he was jumping through the saws and everything in those sawmills, just flying. I said, boy, that's a smart dog. I took him down there and I walked out and got the newspaper one day and Brandy followed me wherever I went. I said, Brandy, newspaper. Put it down on the ground. I said, get the paper. He got the paper and followed me up to the house. From that time on, all I had to say is, Brandy, go get the paper. He'd go get the paper and bring it to me. He went to work with me every day out to Sunland Refinery, and if it was cold, he would stay in the truck, in the back of the truck. If it was hot, he'd get underneath my truck. I had a Jeep truck most of the time. And I would be out on the loading rack or up there. He'd follow me all over the whole refinery. We had another dog out there named Queenie that was the dog there at Sunland. But this dog would follow me out there, and he'd climb the ladders, you know, the ramps, up there where I was gauging all the tanks and stuff, he'd follow me all over. And when I was out there loading the trucks, putting gasoline, diesel, and stove oil, whatever in there, I'd look at him over there, and he always kept his eye on me. And I could go like that, and he'd come and sit right at my feet, just like that. And I could tell him, go back and go underneath the truck. He'd go underneath the truck just like that. I could say, go get in the truck, just like that. And he'd go get in the truck. And I could tell him that verbally, or I could show him by hand. And when I was hunting rabbits, I could tell him to bring them around. If I was herding cattle with him, I could do the same thing. He would watch me and do exactly what I told him to do. That's communication, people. That's communication. And this serpent said to the Isha, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the Nahash, the woman said to the Nahash, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. Everything. It's all ours. This is our throne room. But from the tree of which God said in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. It's mine. God said, that's mine. It's off limits. That's the only thing in the garden that's off limits. That's mine. That's my property. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you shall be like gods. You'll be like gods. knowing good and evil. You'll be like gods. Now, you know, the Mormon church, they got a problem with God. Because every Mormon man thinks he's a god. Now, how do you tell a god that he's a sinner and needs to be saved and ask God to forgive his sins? Because each one of them thinks they're going to own their own universe in the world. They got a god problem because they think they're God. Now, this woman here said, I can be a god. I can be like God. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, okay, it's good to eat, and that it was really pretty to the eyes, it's pretty now. You know, women like pretty things, don't they? Marilyn, you like pretty things? Karen, mm-hmm. You like pretty things? They like pretty things. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from its food and ate. Now, in the Hebrew, do you remember what it says in the Hebrew there? She kept on eating. She kept on eating. This is the first case of absolute gluttony in the Bible. She ate, and then she just kept on eating, eating, eating. As far as I can tell from the Hebrew Bible, they ate the whole tree. Ate all of it. The leaves were probably good tasting, and the fruit and everything else, except that it, in that, was evil. Not the good, but the evil. She took from it, and she ate it. And she kept on eating. And then she gave to her husband, and she kept on giving to her husband the fruit to eat, so they ate the whole tree. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked. They had become evil. That word there, that is word means evil. They had become liars. They had become cheats. They had become murderers. They had become thieves. And they are separated from God. And then it says they made themselves loin coverings. They covered up their private areas. They made themselves breeches. And put breeches on. And they made the breeches out of fig leaves. And this is what they call the first man-made religion. Now God had always planned on saving man by his merits and by his prescription. Man has always got some other idea of how he's going to come to God. The Muslims think they got to pray five times a day, and they have to they can't eat any pork. They worship on Friday, and etc. 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 And they can only have four legal Muslim wives, and they can have all the concubines that they can afford. And that's how down in California you see these guys with four or five wives and a whole 30 kids, and they go in there and they fill up grocery baskets full of milk and orange juice and food. And they'll have one woman doing this and one, and they're all on food stamps because you can only have one legal wife in America, can't you? But they got all these others. They want to live under Sharia law, see? Well, and the real Mormon theology is that you have all the wives you can get, and you have all these kids, and a woman can't get into heaven, can't she, in Mormonism? A woman has no eternal soul unless she has a husband that will resurrect her from the grave. We see these type of things. Brother Madden used to say, Brother Phillips, Mormonism and Islam, all they think about is sex. Sex is a wonderful thing within the limits of God's word. And they heard the sound of the Lord God, Jehovah, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And a man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah Elohim among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man, Where are you? Now, we know that God knew where he was, didn't he? But God wanted man to know where he was. He said, Where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I became afraid, because I had become naked, and I hid myself. And right away, look and see what the story is again. And we're reviewing this. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Who told you you were evil? I didn't create you evil. He didn't create Lucifer evil, did he? God doesn't create evil. And he said, Who told you you were evil? Naked means evil. Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The only negative commandment God gave him is don't touch that tree. Don't eat that tree. That's mine. That's off limits. Man would have known everything that he needed to know without knowing evil. And a man said to the woman, Isha, the woman that you gave to me? What did he say over here in the second chapter? For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife and they shall become one flesh. That means more than two. That means that man will leave his mother and father and become a new entity, a new family. But it also means exactly what happened to him. The woman you gave to me, she gave to me, and I kept on eating from that tree. Then Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. I kept on eating. Once they tasted it, they ate, and they ate, and they ate. Isn't that like drugs? Did drugs like that? On YouTube last night, we were watching this, the drug problem in America and in the world. Drugs and alcohol, boy, it's a real problem, people. I'm Native American. I'm Indian. And when I grew up, my family came to California out of Oklahoma Indian Territory for one reason, so they could own property. We couldn't own property back there. They kept taking it from us. They came out there and they bought a little acre of ground, my grandmother and grandfather did, and all her brothers and sisters and everything came there and they camped, and we had a little Indian village going on. But they would get drunk. They'd beat each other up, shoot at each other. I mean, how would you like to be a little baby and them taking a .22 rifle and shooting the whatnots off the shelves? And beating each other up, tearing their clothes off each other, drunk. When they were sober, everything's fine. Everybody was there. They'd go out and get food. We all eat. Everybody ate. Nobody was hungry. Everything like that. It was wonderful. But when they got drunk, Katie barred the door. It was bad. Drugs and alcohol. You see people standing out on the laying out on the streets. Just laying there in different positions. This fentanyl is coming in from the southern border. All this stuff in the heroin and all of this. It's horrible. That was like that tree. Like the tree. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the serpent said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. I kept on eating. Once I ate, I just kept on eating. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. You know, in the schools, they take drugs in there and they give them to the kids. Because then they're going to buy them. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this same curse, you are more than all the cattle. He was the king of all the beasts. Cursed you are more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and laying in dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And then verse number 15, he promises a Savior. Two things. We know that Satan is going to birth a child. At least one, the great Antichrist, maybe more. And I will put active hatred between you and the woman and between your seed, Satan's seed, and her seed, Jesus Christ. And he says, you shall bruise him, or he shall bruise you as to your head, a death-dealing blow, but you shall bruise him as to the heel, a crippling blow. Jesus Christ tasted death on the cross of Calvary. He tasted death on the cross of Calvary. And the woman, to the woman he said, I will put greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. Now she's going to have 1,000 kids. 1,000 times she's going to remember this. 1,000 times she's going to remember this. And in pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you because you led him astray. Paul repeats that in the New Testament. And then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Got any weeds over there, Larry?
Yeah.
Plenty. That's because of what Adam did here. Because of you, and I, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. I was out there yesterday digging holes to put those trees in, and water was running off me like a fountain. Because it was warm out there in that sun. Get tired. You wet. And you know where it ran from? Right off the end of my nose, because I was bent over working, and it was just dripping off of my nose like that. And it said, but thorns and thistles shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your nose, off of your nose, you shall eat bread till you turn to the ground. Now the man, now they believed God. Now they believed God. Man believed that the woman would have a child, and he would be their Messiah, the Savior. And he says this, now the man called his wife's name Hava. Hava is the word in Hebrew. Haya means to live. I shall call her living. Now, in all reality, every child she was going to have was going to die, wasn't it? Shouldn't she be the mother of all dying? But he's talking about she's going to be the mother of all living, because that Christ child that she's going to have, this Savior, this seed of woman, is going to save us. Now the man called his wife living because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And then they get kicked out of the garden. They get 86th out of the garden. Out. And then God puts a cherubim there with a flaming sword. They can't come back. They lost the throne room. In Genesis 4 and 1, now the man had sexual relationship with his wife, Eve, the mother of all living, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Cain is the word, and it means gotten. I have gotten the Messiah. And she said, I've gotten a man-child et Jehovah. This is the Savior. This is the Savior. Our Savior is born. And she again gave birth, and she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And what happened to Cain and Abel? Everybody knows that story. Cain slaughtered Abel. But Jehovah went to Cain, and he says, if you will do right, if actually what he told him is, if you'll tithe, if you'll cut straight, if you'll tithe, and give from the fruit of the ground to your brother, buy a lamb and offer that to lamb, you'll be happy and I'll be happy. But he became angry and he slaughtered his brother. And it said that he, what they call, this is a mass murderer. He killed him 1,000 times. Slatter, slash, slash, slash. Then God sent him in the land of wandering. And now we have the birth of a lineage of murderers. What did they do? They became murderers. Murderers. That's what it said. God said that he would put an oath on Cain, and that he would protect him. But let's go down and look and see what happened with his children. In the fourth chapter, in verse 22, as for Zillah, she gave birth to Tubal-Cain and her forger of implements and bronze and iron, and sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. I give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man. I'm a murderer, and I'm proud of it. I've killed a man for wounding me, and I've killed a boy for striking me. Murderers. Now, when Adam and Eve were hanging around watching all this stuff going on, what do you think they were thinking? Did we cause all of this? At the gas pumps right now, what do you say? There's a picture of Biden on there. Did I cause this? Did I do this? Did they say back then, did I do this? Did we really do this? Yeah, they did. When they rebelled against God, they did. And that child was not the Messiah. He was the Antichrist. And these people all hated God. They would not follow God. They were religious. They worshipped each other and things instead of worshiping God. God said, if you'll come to me and tell me, you ask me for forgiveness because of Jesus Christ, and in your heart believe that he died on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried and he rose again. If you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and Savior, you are saved. You shall be saved. That's the story of redemption. That's the story of rebellion and the story of drugs and alcohol and redemption. All together. Our Father, we send this message out that it might honor and glorify you in every way. And I pray that people all over the world, the children and old and young, both, will see the only way to follow and live in this world is to follow you. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.